you, Matt. Worship was beautiful today, you guys. That was just awesome. I was blessed by the music. That's really cool. Good morning, Eastgate, Facebook, and YouTube. By the way, YouTube is up there. I'm Rob. You probably know that. And this is my daughter, Janelle. You probably know that.
Hi.
But we're going to be doing something different today.
Sorry.
Did you make that noise the whole time? Or?
No, I'm done.
Janelle and I are going to have a discussion. And part of this discussion is going to be dependent upon your participation in it. And so I'm really, whatever platform you're using to watch this, if there are comments, there should be comments available on either Facebook or YouTube. We're right at the outset. I want to invite you to participate in this conversation by either posing your questions or adding your comments, whatever you would like. I want to real quick ask you guys to turn the air conditioning off over the stage. Is it on over the stage? Or, or it, maybe even the middle one. I know it might get warm, but the sound is possibly interfering with things. So we want you to interact with us as best as you can. We'll have people watching to make sure that we get your comments. And here's the point. I felt like it was necessary to take a break from our teaching in Galatians for today because I really believe that God has communicated something to us as a fellowship. I believe I believe he's communicated something to us specifically and directly. And I want you to know that that is not terminology that I use lightly or frequently. That's something that we don't say very often. Because it's, you know, it can be one of those things you can bandy about all the time. And people will use that in manipulative ways. And that's something that I've never wanted to be part of. But something has happened that we, as upon examining it and praying about it, we really believe that God has been communicating to it, and we believe it's something that we need to share with the whole community so that we can all kind of interact with this and contemplate it prayerfully together. So months ago, well before this pandemic ever started or affected our ability to do what we do normally, Janelle came to me with a dream that she had that she felt was significant. And at the time, it seemed significant, but it was very hard to contextualize. As events have unfolded, she's going to share it with us, but we'll see that it was not only predictive, but very applicable to our current state of affairs. And it becomes very provocative, something that we need to consider and examine and to prayerfully attend to and explore together as a community. So, Janelle,
yes,
will you share what happened? What took place?
Yes. Okay. So it was over 6 months ago. I looked up text messages about it. It was at the beginning of December because I reached out to you saying, like, "Hey, can I tell you about this dream I had?" And I'm sure you're like, "Yay!" I'm so excited to hear
the way
it.
To start your day.
but yeah, I called you in the morning and. Basically, I had a dream that I was living in a world where church on Sunday mornings no longer existed. And this world looked very similar to our world today and here in this community. But the difference was that there was a lot of chaos and confusion. It felt almost apocalyptic, but not like quite at that level. And I knew in this dream that there was no church on Sunday mornings. I was aware that being a Christian was not illegal. It wasn't like a bad thing. It wasn't like you weren't allowed to tell people, but church on Sunday mornings was just not an option.
Church meetings on Sunday mornings.
Church meetings on Sunday mornings. And so I remember thinking, well, if there's no church meetings on Sunday morning, how will anybody here know that I'm a Christian? And it kind of had me stop in that moment thinking, wait a second.
Yeah.
Is this what I depend on, you know, to be a Christian?
Yeah, and I just to interject, I just remember when you were telling me that, I couldn't contextualize that. I was, you know, you were saying, I've grown up in apocalyptic kind of mindsets with churches and all, and there was always this anticipation. One day we're not going to be able to meet. You had to grow up hearing part of that as I was coming out of that. But we always assumed it was persecution or something like that. I could not contextualize what you were saying at the time. This was back in December, right?
This was at the beginning of December, and because I looked through my text messages, I was able to find the date. But so when I realized church meetings on Sunday morning was no longer an option, I began to think, well, kind of look at the world around me and think, well, what is it that I can be doing to show others that I'm a Christian, to show others that God loves them? And it was at that time that I began to kind of look up and assess the things that were going on in, you know, my viewpoint. And there's, you know, somebody I think trying to fill a gas can or things like that were happening. And I remember thinking, well, what can I do? I want to find a way to be loving to these people and figure out how I can go above and beyond to show that the reason I'm doing this is because God loves them. But but basically this dream haunted me, and it affected me so much that the next morning, you know, I called Dad and was like,
right.
First of all, do you have eggs? Can you cook me breakfast? Second of all, can I tell you about this
dream? Get your priorities straight. That's the main thing.
Yeah, but basically I left this dream asking myself and those around me who I shared the dream with. I also shared it with Julie Gendom, just because it struck me so much. But I left it asking a couple questions. Do you want me to go into those?
Yeah.
Okay, so the first question was, is my attendance and participation in church the main way that I live out Christianity? That was something that I left that dream. I didn't leave that dream thinking, oh my gosh, this is going to happen to us. Everybody get ready. I left that dream really convicted by how much I depended on a Sunday morning church meeting as the main thing, as my main identifier as a Christian.
And I remember that's what you and I had the conversation about, that it wasn't so much like, let's get ready, something's about to happen. Neither one of us actually expected this to literally take place.
Not in any way.
but it was something that we both had a conversation about then. Like, what is the role of our Sunday morning services in our life as Christians?
Right.
What was the other question that popped in?
The other main question that kept coming to me was, if meeting in a building was no longer an option, what would I be doing instead to show others that I'm a Christian? So if I took Sunday morning meetings out of the equation, that was the thing I remember asking you and asking Julie. You know, if we took Sunday morning meetings out of the equation, what does that look like? You know, in the dream, I began assessing the needs and looking, but in real life, what does that look like?
Yeah. And you're talking about showing, like, you know, how would people know and showing that you're a Christian. Why would that be? Why is that an important thing? Like, what is that? It's not about works, is it? But yet.
But I'm glad you asked. I have some verses we can read.
All right, let's read those.
Matthew 5:14-16 says, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven."
So there it is. So it's not, when we talk about we're not saved by our works, that's right. We are not saved by our works. But at the same time, the New Testament affirms over and over again, we are called to demonstrate the reality of God's kingdom in this world, to live out the realities of his values in this world. Those are the works that we do that glorify our Father in heaven. So it is an important thing. And if the Sunday morning meeting is out of the equation, then how do we go about doing that? Is there another question?
I have one more question.
What was the other question?
It says, does our idea of church need to be restructured in a way that better matches God's calling for our lives as Christians, for us as Christians?
Very interesting question. Very scary question, to be honest with you. But I mean, it's a good question.
And I think you had a Bible verse that you wanted to.
I did, because here's the thing that, you know, we look at the events that are taking place in this world, and most of the time we are spending our time. I spend a lot of my time wishing things were back to normal. Like, how can we get back to normal? What are we going to do? How do we get back to being the way we were before? And maybe we need to change our thinking about this. I was talking to Lance Ford, and he brought up Hebrews chapter 12. Let me just read it to you. And the writer of Hebrews is making a larger point than what we're going to pull the elements from it. But it says, "Once again, I will shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. This means that all of creation will be shaken and removed so that only unshakable things, well, unshakable things, everything quit working. There we go. Unshakable things will remain. Since we're receiving a kingdom that is unshakable, let's be thankful and please God by worshiping him with holy fear and awe. In a lot of ways, this is a time of shakeup, especially for us as the church. I mean, obviously, a lot of people are affected by this in a lot of different aspects of society. But we as the church, when you look at the landscape of 21st century American Christianity, this is a huge shakeup for us. And that doesn't have to be a bad thing. The writer of Hebrews isn't necessarily trying to, cast a doom and gloom picture in what he's saying here. He's talking about how God's doing something to bring out what's best in us as a church, those things that are eternal and unshakable, those things that are part of his kingdom that are never going to pass away. So that's it. So we're seeing that God's spoken something here to us and that there are scriptural underpinnings behind this. So,
yeah, and it's been over 4 months since we've been able to open our church doors to anybody who would like to enter them, which is almost 5 months, actually.
Yeah, it's been a long time.
And in this time of, where there hasn't been the official church meetings on Sunday morning that everybody could attend in person, we've used this time to renovate and remodel as much of the space in Eastgate as we possibly could. Normally, when we did any sort of renovations or remodeling, it was like, okay, church is over on Sunday. As soon as it's over, get everything done. You have 5 days, and then put it back together so it looks like nothing ever happened. But this time, we've had weeks and weeks that we could let projects go on, which has been really a gift of time. And we've been able to clean up the main room and repaint it, remodel it, and same with the gig youth room. The gig youth room is almost unrecognizable. The goals of these renovations was to help make this space more inviting, more welcoming, relaxing to everyone who enters.
Something with a little bit more of a universal appeal as opposed to a specific niche of interest. Though that niche is still here.
Oh my God. And it's awesome and it's a good thing, but it was just maybe time to.
Right on.
And the goal for this space also is not to distract from what we do, but to reflect and enhance our work.
Right on.
So my initial thoughts when the church meetings had stopped was to create as many meetings and gatherings online as possible, just as many different sources of connection that we could do virtually. And while that worked for a bit, attendance and participation just naturally began to dwindle, which happens in real life, too.
It happens in real life, but I also think that there was an initial sense of, energy that was here when this thing was brand new on us. And we were all like desperate and looking to see how in the world we're going to connect with each other and what we're going to do. Mm-hmm. And just naturally, that sort of fades. And especially when we're trying to connect through computer screens, you can't help but start to fall off from that. That's just the reality.
And so I did Kidsgate pen pal programs, but eventually students stopped writing in. So we put that on hold. We had baptisms, planned for Sunday morning at Pineapple Willie's. That was going to be our last hurrah kind of thing. And we had to cancel that because there were people close to the community testing positive, and we wanted to protect everybody in the community.
Right.
Then when we thought we were going to be able to meet back in the building the week of, I was so excited because I was like, finally, we're getting back into it. Like, let me coordinate volunteers. Let me do what I know how to do. And then the week of, we had to just call it all off again and say, never mind.
And then all of a sudden, you watch the numbers spike and it's serious. I mean, it's one of those things that we've taken our time. And we're still going to continue taking our time because as much as we get used to these things and as much as human beings, we want to just get back to the way things were, this is still a serious situation. And people even closer to us now have been affected in profound ways by this virus.
And I should probably clarify, I know we're not 6 feet apart, but we've been quarantining together. So we're not saying everybody else follow the rules except for us.
Right.
did feel like that was important to say. But basically, every time I tried to create a system that matched our old and like normal ways of doing things, I just found the door just, I felt like closing on my face. I felt so frustrated. I felt honestly like very burned out. Just like, what's the point in making something? It's or creating a new plan for getting together. It's not going to work anyway. I felt like sick to my stomach.
Right.
Like really, just truly, just every day, like sick to my stomach. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to fix this.
This has been it's kind of a cool thing in that it's leveled the playing field universally because nobody knows what to do. None of us know what's going
Except
on.
Except then it's also hard because there's no one to look to be like,
it's true. But, yeah. There always used to be the cool churches that knew what they were doing and we could look over and see what they were doing. And then you realize, oh, nobody knows what to do in this situation.
I know. I was Googling so many other churches that I thought were fancy. Like, what are they fixing? How are they figuring this out? But, I remember, just praying to God, just saying like, God, what do I do? Nothing I try is working, and everything I plan just feels like it falls apart. Mm-hmm. And I was cleaning up some of the construction from this main room when I was praying that, and I really got a strong sense from God that just like the renovations on the building, it was time for renovations on the church. The old ways may have been good for a season. So, like, there's no judgment for the way the building looked before. I thought it looked great. You know, I loved it.
If you like that whole frat house look, yeah, it was cool. liked it.
But now is the time and really the opportunity to rethink how can we do this better? You know, just like we don't want to be afraid to ever change anything in the building for it to improve it because we like the old way.
Right on.
You know, think how we can do things differently on Sunday mornings.
I mean, you think about the origins of Eastgate were that. We're looking at this and looking at the structure and trying to figure out if there was some other way to go about it. And a lot of what we have as a church in terms of our priorities and what we do is birthed out of this desire to re-examine this. And just because this is the way we've always done things doesn't mean it's got to be the way that's always going to be.
Right. And so like when we were meeting every single Sunday, most of, I would say, our jobs with everyone on staff was just working to kind of keep up with the status quo.
Right.
We had these systems put in place and most of our work was spent keeping these systems maintained.
Right.
There wasn't a lot of time and energy that we had, you know, to spend on what can we do differently? How can this be improved? And even those improvements that we might have thought of were just additions to the structures that were already there. It wasn't necessarily rethinking everything. But I feel like now this is like a really huge opportunity for us to allow our normal ideas of church to be broken and ask, how can we do this differently?
Right.
And you can't be mad at me for thinking that because that's kind of what you did starting Eastgate.
That's right. No, that's
right. And you raised me to think like that. So, but this is the time I feel like, you know, to ask, to question what we do and to ask ourselves, could this be better and how?
And by better, what we mean, I would think, I'm assuming what you mean by better is that something that is back to the Hebrews thing, something that is more characteristic of something unshakable, more characteristic of the eternal nature of the kingdom, something that is advancing our purpose and reason for being as a church in a way that isn't just dependent on a single meeting in the middle of a week.
Yeah, and just using this time to ask the questions, okay, what are the important parts that we know must stay the same? I'm not saying, like, throw everything out. Like, just with the renovations in the main room, we kept the chairs.
And the walls.
And walls. Like, there are certain important things that have to remain.
Bathrooms are still here.
Bathrooms, great. Indoor plumbing. But I'm saying, you know, in the same way with the church, what can we be doing to say, okay, what parts do we know absolutely have to stay the same?
Yeah.
What parts can we live without?
Right on.
So,
getting
back to the questions, I don't know if we want to start with the first one.
Yeah, so let's do that. Let's go back through these questions again and contemplate them a little bit. Is my attendance and participation in church the main way that I live out my Christianity? And we're posing these questions not in hopes of necessarily, you know, coming to conclusions or to nail down all the solutions that we need to find in this situation right now, but it's more like a rabbinical midrash where we're going to discuss this. And really the main point of that is the discussion because the truth emerges in the midst of the discussion. We're not trying to, you know, we're not proposing solutions to you guys today. That's why this is important for your our participation in this, because this is the community of Christ. This is the body of Christ, and the Holy Spirit is speaking and working and ministering through all of us. And so the exploration of the question is as important as the answer itself. So when it comes to Sunday morning church meetings, it's important that we understand the role of that Sunday morning meeting. You know, oftentimes we'll say things like, you know, I'm going to go to church. And you've heard me over the years, you know, try to maintain the distinction between the church and the church building. You know, everybody's really good at that. But we also have to remember that church is not just the event that takes place on Sunday morning. It's not just this gathering, this meeting that we have. Church is who we are. It's a state of being. It's a calling on life. It's not just that meeting that we have. If we understand the role of that Sunday morning meeting, we won't emphasize it disproportionately to everything else. Not disproportionately, but disproportionately. That's a hard word to say. Disproportionately to everything else that we've been called to be. And I just real quick want to read Ephesians chapter 4. Because Paul makes this point. So Christ himself gave the apostles and the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors and the teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. And so there's the thing, is that this meeting, this Sunday morning meeting, is not church. It is the equipping. That's what Paul is saying here. The reason for gathering is not, you know, so that the world is going to know that we're Christians. That's not the reason that we gather. We personally are to be letting the world know about this glorious kingdom of God that's breaking in on this world in our daily lives, day by day, throughout the week. Sunday morning is our time for maturing and for learning. That's why we get into the Word. This is part of our discipleship, that we're learning what the Word says. We learn what God's values are. We learn how to love one another when people aren't all that lovable sometimes. This is our training ground to do this sort of thing. That's why we gather. That's why it's still important. But the first thing that we have to do when we want to understand this first question that we put up there is the Sunday morning service, the main way that I express my Christianity. We have to put that Sunday meeting in its proper place and understand that it's just, you know, it is not the end all and be all of the church. It's not the whole and totality of what this is all about. It's important. I'm certainly not wanting to disparage or, you know, minimize the importance of that gathering together. That's an important aspect of our lives as believers, but it's only one aspect of what it is that we've been called not just to do, but to be in this world. So you think about an athlete. We'll take a football player, for instance. You think about an athlete. There's an awful lot of time that an athlete spends in the weight room, lifting weights and doing other, or going out on the field and running through tires or pushing a sled around out on an open field. And none of those things are actually part of the game that they play. That's just the training that's necessary to make that player able and fully equipped to be able to go out and do the things that they have to do as the game is being played. And that's how we have to understand that Sunday morning service. This is the weight room. This is the place where we're, you know, and so when you come back, we are going to have tires all down here. You're going to have to run through them.
That's exactly what I was thinking.
No, but that's the idea. That's the concept we need to have in mind when we gather here on Sunday mornings. This is my training place. This is where I'm lifting the weights of God's word. This is where I'm pushing the sled of learning how to love the person who, you know, gets under my skin sometimes. This is the place, the safe space where I can learn these skills that the Holy Spirit has placed within me so that then I can go out and be impactful in this world as I live my daily life.
Yeah, and I feel like really convicted by that as a leader, and because I want to say, like, this isn't something where I feel like you and I are up here like, yeah, everybody everybody else figure it out. I feel like leaders, even I think about the conferences I've gone to, they're all about how to make Sunday morning the best Sunday morning ever.
Yeah.
You know, entertaining teachings, really like, you know, emotional worship services and get volunteers that want to stay. Like when people are ready to take Christianity seriously, what do? We get them plugged in on Sunday mornings.
Yeah.
We get them volunteering on Sunday mornings. So I feel convicted too about how I want to make sure that we're representing those things as well.
And I'll be honest, there is a troubling sense of things that I've seen emerge in the midst of this pandemic, attitudes that I've seen coming from the church at large. There's this almost militant sense, like, you can't keep us from meeting. We got to meet. This is our, you know, this is how we, even the president at one point says, we need prayer, as though the only way prayer is going to occur is if we have a Sunday morning service. And that's just inaccurate. That's not what the New Testament tells us. It's important. We're not minimizing the importance of this gathering. But it's not about, the kingdom of God is not just about our Sunday morning gatherings. And we have to remember that this is for the equipping of the saints so that we can do the work that God's called us to, that Matthew tells us that we're going to do, that's going to glorify our Father in heaven.
Yeah, because you're not saying, okay, forget Sunday morning, we don't need it.
Right.
We need it, but we need to remember what the purpose is.
We don't want it. So N.T. Wright uses an analogy at different times talking about ways in which we interpret the Bible. And you could use that same analogy when we talk about our life as the church. If you were to get a symphony and, you know, you've got all the different parts that go into this symphony. You've got the flutes playing over here. You got the violins playing over here. But if you were to eliminate just like the flutes and just have the violins, it's a completely different tune that you're hearing. But when you bring in all the other things, you get the robust and full sound of that symphony as it's being played. We've got to understand that Sunday morning service is a part of it. That's the nice violin section that's important to be there. But we want all of it in there. We want the full symphony to be playing. And that's the other aspect of how it is that we're living out this shared mission that we have as the community of Christ in this world. So that brings us then to our second question. Wait, did you have something else that you wanted to say?
No.
Okay.
This is just my face.
I felt like I said everything just perfectly there. I don't know why you'd need to add anything else. So it brings us to our second question. If meeting in a building was no longer an option, what would I be doing instead to show others and the world around me that I'm a Christian?
Which I think is interesting because in the dream, it was such a hypothetical and we felt so challenged by the
hypothetical. Yeah.
And when it happened in real life, we were like, this is madness.
Yeah.
Who could have expected it?
In fact, what's weird is, so you had this dream in December. You told me about it. And we completely forgot about it.
Yes.
Until like a month ago.
Yeah.
When all this, didn't you have a dream about this?
it made me think, wait a minute. Like when we read the Bible and the disciples are shocked when Jesus gets killed and rises from the dead because we're like, he told them a couple of times. How did they not know?
And
then it's like I have this dream that I share with you and other people, and you know, the thought of not meeting on Sunday morning was like the craziest thing we could think of.
Yeah. And again, you couldn't contextualize it, so much so that we completely forgot about it.
Yeah.
When it actually happened. So but we haven't forgotten. We're back
yes.
to it. We're thinking about it.
Yes.
So how do we approach this then? I mean, we want to be honest about this.
Right.
We want to look at this in ways that we're not creating unrealistic expectations for ourselves or for others.
Right, and we want it to be bigger than a step-by-step process.
Right on.
We want it
right.
to leave room for the Holy Spirit, for people to find individually what this means to them.
Right on.
But we have a few suggestions.
Yeah,
right?
We do, yes.
Okay, so we thought of kind of three things, which is focusing our prayers.
Yes. Focus, make this a matter of prayer. Make this something that we think about and pray about on a regular basis. How can I express my Christianity out in the world without a Sunday morning service?
And then the second one was to keep our eyes open, which we'll kind of dig into these, or should we do that now? What do you think?
Yeah, let's dig into them now.
Okay, well, let's start with prayer. Let's go back.
Okay.
Okay, so one of the things I pray for with this stuff is just praying for God to just make a clear path for where he wants me to go and what that looks like, and just kind of being open to, I don't know what it is that I necessarily should be doing, but God, just please make a way for that to
happen.
Right
on. Right on. Yeah. I mean, and it's one of those things that, you know, we're going to have to crawl before we can walk. We're going to have to, you know, it's not like we're expecting to have answers all at once. But if we're praying, we're going to begin moving in that direction. My grandson's learning how to walk, and we call to him and we coax him to come towards us. And, you know, and he does. I believe as we pray about these things, God will, as our Father, coax us and call us in certain ways. But we need to make it intentional, an intentional aspect of our prayers.
Yeah, actually seeking that out.
Right on.
Yeah, I love that, intentional. And then the other thing was just kind of keeping our eyes open for, you know, what God might be leading us to or showing us.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. We can even, you know, look around, like look at other churches or...
Yeah, you had talked about Tampa and their micro...
Okay, so before Hurricane Michael came, if you remember, I was kind of talking about this. The Lord had already put it in my heart and the hearts of others that, you know, there's got to be more to this than just the gathering and the teaching and the learning. There's a missional aspect. And of course, Lance Ford came across our path, and that's his whole jam. And so we were talking with him about this a lot, and he introduced me to a church down in Tampa called the Underground Church, where they're split up into a whole slew of what they call micro churches. And it's a great variety of different ways in which people are pursuing the various gifts and talents and abilities that they have, but doing so intentionally with the purpose of advancing the kingdom, advancing God's love in this world.
It's not like 100 small groups. They're different. Some people are teaching dance. Some people are, you know, it's just a wide variety.
Teaching construction, mentoring people, things like that. One of them was an improv group that they're teaching improv. And, you know, when I was first looking at that, I got discouraged thinking, I don't know anything about improv, but it's not the point. The point is that God is looking to use those things that we have. There's a reason he's given us the talents that we have, the passions that we have, the interests that we have. It's not just, you know, just so that we can be more interesting people. It's so that his love can be spread through the vehicle of those things that we're pursuing in life.
Yeah, I totally agree. It's not like if those passions don't fit in the box that we have on Sunday morning, then set those aside. You can't use those for God.
Again, and that comes back to getting rid of this false distinction between secular and spiritual when it comes to Christianity. As Christians, there's no secular anything. We are Christians. We're pursuing life and the purposes of God in everything that we do. That's all part and parcel. So we're not, when we're talking about micro churches and things like that, and again, we're talking, we're looking at this church or whatever, and we're wondering, is this something that's for us? We're not talking about, you know, I got to start a Bible study somewhere or a prayer group. Nothing wrong with those things. Those things are very positive, but it's not limited to those things. There's all kinds of ways.
Right.
Like, there's all kinds of ways.
Well, and I feel like we already have a couple of awesome examples in our community that I would like to highlight.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, Greg Nelson has started a New Day ministry.
Right.
Which is to help people that were formerly incarcerated.
Helping them get back, you know, once they're clean, helping them get back into... normalized life of being a productive citizen in our country.
Yeah,
it's a beautiful thing.
He partners with businesses who make pledges to hire a certain amount of people through his program. So it's a really practical, awesome way.
And I just want to say, in talking to Greg, this wasn't something that he went to some school and learned the process or anything like this. This is something that the Holy Spirit dropped in his heart. And he just started exploring, looking around. Well, how could this work? Well, how would that work? Mm-hmm. One step led to another. It was a period of time that had to go by as it all came together. But it did come together because it was something that the Lord was doing and leading him into.
And like Kathy Stevens does free violin lessons. Misty does dance classes. She does free worship dance classes. But just other examples that people could do that I don't know. I mean, it might be happening now, but just other ideas to get people brainstorming would be like offering budgeting advice or mentoring somebody or free tutoring if you're like, oh, I was always good at math. Maybe you can help with that.
Yeah.
Or
that's a weird one to me. I can't even imagine that. That doesn't make any sense.
You know, offering music lessons, cake baking.
Oh, the options are limitless almost.
Yeah.
I mean, and so here's the other thing too, is that means that we as 21st century American consumers have to start rethinking how we understand these gifts and talents and abilities that we have. We have to understand them Not as things that, oh, yay, I've got this, and now I can monetize this. Now I can actually build my own empire because I've got these things to do or to offer to people that, who are going to be willing to pay for them. Let's rethink how we understand those gifts and talents and abilities, not as things that we're using to be able to build ourselves up, but as means by which God can demonstrate his love, as ministries that are actually conveying the reality, the eternal reality of God's love breaking into this world. I just think, you know, we oftentimes have this mindset. If it's worth something, I need to charge for it or whatever. And I'm not saying, you know, side hustles are wrong or anything like that. I'm just saying that maybe we need to sit back and examine the things that we have at our disposal, the things that are there in front of us present, that, and see how we could use those in different ways.
Yeah, and I think about, you know, Christianity is built on sacrificial love.
Yeah.
And you know, sometimes we might feel like, okay, well, I don't have money to give to the church, but maybe I have time.
Right.
You know, and sacrificing that time for somebody else and saying, because you are worth more than whatever money I could be getting
right
at this time, I think can be a powerful thing.
And if you go back to the origin of the church, when the church was birthed in Acts chapter 2, 3, and 4, and in there, in that whole story, we see that one of the things that they did was they shared everything in common. Everything that they had, they shared together. Nobody lacked anything. They were looking after one another. And there's an ethic to that that's part of the biblical process, that God made this world and he made it in such a way that there's plenty for everyone. We just have to see to it that we're looking out for one another as this goes along. In fact, the Bible Project has a great podcast on that, if you ever want to take the time to listen to it, about the generosity, the principles of generosity from a biblical standpoint and what that means. And mm-hmm. and that's all part of it.
Well, and I think about like Julie Jendom with Keeping Our Eyes Open. You know, she had it on her heart to care for those who were hungry and help meet those needs locally.
Yes.
And so she just took the initiative. She
just made a couple phone calls. She didn't even know where to start.
I mean, she just called a couple charities and then they led her to the next step and to the next step. And it created this awesome thing that we were able to have in the parking lot. She reached out to us. Do you want to partner with that? And we're like, yes. And so then we had a lot of volunteers, you know, come out and participate in sharing this food. There are thousands of pounds of food. And so much so that a lot of the volunteers like Najla, Misty, Mel were training while we did it. So they said, okay, if we do this again, we can help lead it next time.
So there's aspects of ministry then that unfolds, ways in which we're demonstrating the reality of our faith in Christ in this world. We've got another one coming up, I believe, in September.
So anyway, those are just some examples.
Yeah. And so our time is getting away from us. I'm sort of surprised about this. So
we're going to take a break.
I was going to say we're going to take a break, but as we're taking a break, then there's a question that we want to keep in mind. Does our idea of church need to be restructured in a way that better matches God's calling for us as Christians? So that's what we want to kind of, you know, think about, that, you know, as we're going to take some time, we're going to do another worship song here, and then we're going to come back and have kind of a midrash. We're going to discuss the things that maybe you've brought up.
So if you want to comment about this question right now, we're going to be reading them in the next 5 minutes. So,
yeah.
But I do want to clarify, you know, with our idea of what the question was, does our idea of church need to be structured in a way that better matches God's calling for us as Christians? I do want to clarify, this isn't like, oh, it would be better if the slides were switched faster, things like that. This is like, you know, if the teaching was funnier.
Well, everybody's going to want that. Teaching's shorter and funnier.
And less Bible.
Yeah.
That's kind of boring.
Bible-y. They're so Bible-y around there. So, Matt, are you able to come back? And we'll take over. I'll take over for you. And
we'll read through the comments, and then we'll come back. We'll discuss that last question, but kind of together as much as we can.
As much as we can. So, Father, I just pray that you give us wisdom. Like all of us who are watching this and thinking about this, you by your Spirit are not limited. We are connected through your Spirit. And so I just ask you to lead us and guide us into unity, into what it is that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we did get some feedback. We were just kind of looking over some of the stuff that was there on Facebook. And
I want to say thank you to Daniel My brother and my mom, he's like saying his wrist was like so sore from writing because he had like pages of comments. So thank you for everybody for being involved. And this was, we were worried like, what if nobody comments or says anything? So this is awesome.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And we appreciate everybody's input. So let's talk about this a little bit. Like, can you pick one out of there that you wanted to discuss specifically, or?
Najla says, when I learn and hear a message on Sunday or even during a small group, I think about it all week long, and it affects my conversations and actions, impacting how others see me as a Christian, which is awesome. That's the goal.
Exactly. Right?
That's why your teachings, the goal, you know, even when you teach and when you do the teaching, the teachers, the goal is to make sure that there's real life application, that it's not just something for us on Sunday morning at that time, but that it's something that, you know, can equip us. And that's the exact kind of thing of what you were talking about with the gym.
Yeah.
You know, this is how we learn, so that when we go out and do the real work, we can have more information, we can have context, we can know.
Right on, right on.
So did you want to do one?
Well, I just wanted to point out that John Kittler also was wanting to mention that he's got a ministry that he's been doing. It's, again, it's the same type of thing, where the Lord puts something on his heart, and he's been providing furniture for people who are formerly homeless veterans. It can even be used, he was saying, suggesting, can be used as a, you know, for crisis things, disaster management, things like that. He's always in need of volunteers. So there's another way to plug in. And this is the kind of thing, is that I would love to see small communities, you know, like micro communities, micro churches develop out of this, to where, you know, there's actual community and relationship happening there, and we're working together for the goal. You know, that's the church community is about worship. It's about community, and it's about mission.
Yeah.
You know, all these things formed together for those purposes.
Well, and I feel like, too, this is another perfect example of, like, we want, as leadership and as the Eastgate Church, to empower people who want to do these things. So, like, with John, he already has this idea. This isn't anything you and I want to take over, can take over, or should take over.
Correct.
But we want to help empower and facilitate so that he can continue to do what God's calling him. So a way we can be doing that, John, is if you let us know, we can put it in the announcements.
Yeah.
Hey, here's this awesome ministry. Even if you cannot volunteer, you know about it now and can join us in praying about it.
Right
but
on.
Then also, if you're able to volunteer or want to be a part of it, then that's a great way that we can help facilitate these things and make them happen.
And Craig mentions in here too that the you know, when we're talking about, you know, our idea of being restructured, and he was talking about, you know, not losing the Sunday morning. And I want to make clear that that's never what we're talking about. We're not ever saying abandon that Sunday morning thing, but adding to, you know, the plus this, making sure that the full symphony is being played, not just one portion of it.
And that's what some of the comments I saw were talking about too, like, well, I really love Sunday morning, and I really miss Sunday morning. And I want to clarify, we love Sunday mornings.
We do.
And we desperately miss Sunday mornings. We can't wait to get all back together. In
fact,
when we're done, we're going to share some ideas on how we plan to do that sooner rather than later. But I do want to clarify, like, by no means were we saying it's bad to enjoy Sunday morning.
No, no.
We love Sunday mornings.
In fact, one of the comments, and I can't remember who it was saying, you know, selfishly, I like to come and hear this, and it built. But
that's not selfish.
That's not selfish. That's the training ground. That's what, you know, that's why we're doing this, you know, and so it's an important aspect.
Well,
we're not saying to get rid of it.
If you go back to the athlete analogy, they're not selfish to go to the gym and to work harder and to practice. That's part of it.
That's
part of the bigger picture. But we just want to make sure that we clarify, Sunday morning church is not the bigger picture.
Yeah.
It's a part of it.
Yeah.
An important part that we love, and it's not selfish to like it.
But how can we become more mobilized? In fact, other things, I was going to mention these things here that we had kind of jotted down. Are there other, what other things? There was one other thing.
There were so many great
ones.
There
were. We can't get to all of them, but they're in the comments sections in there.
Well, there's a couple. Jessica said, this is so convicting. In a time where social media is a hailstorm of words, the only real relationships I still have are with my family and next door neighbors. All I can think about is how I'm showing God's love to them. I'm not doing it very well, that's for sure, which is a little sad ending. But it's good to be thinking about that. You know, first of all, social media, it counts as part of our witness.
It does.
So, we, you know, when I play board games with friends, I always say, like, I don't have to be a Christian during board games. It doesn't count. I don't have to be nice to you. But I would say that does not apply to social media.
I think it applies to board games, too.
I'll pray about that. People who play board games with me are not. but, you know, that's something we want to think about, what our witness is on social media. I think that's a big thing we bring up in church right now. But also, I liked what she was saying. Even when we're quarantined, even if we're only seeing the people in our house with us, there's still people we have to show God's love
right
to.
On,
it doesn't
right
mean
on.
That they don't count or social media doesn't count. Whatever, whoever we're interacting with counts.
Yes. That's right. And all of it is the mission that we've been given. And God's the one, you know, Dr. Tony Fauci at one point was talking about it's the virus that dictates the timing of all of this, not anything else. But I'm going to even say it's God who is dictating how it is that we're going to be ministering and what the opportunities are. And so we don't want to just constantly moan and complain because things are feeling so limited. Let's open our eyes and open our hearts to see how God is going to use us, even if it's to the people in our own household.
Yes. Did you see Julia G's comment?
I might have. I was reading them all so fast. It sounds like a good way to redirect our focus from the limiting views on social media to our immediate world around us. Oh, well, that's exactly what I... So, yeah, there we go. So our focus on comments from social media can cause us to think that it represents the opinion of everyone around us. And that's right. It's, you know, so there again, bringing our focus into the areas where we are actually, you know, interacting with human beings in meaningful ways. So.
Okay, well, so the question was, does our idea of church need to be restructured in a way that better matches God's calling for us as Christians? The first thing I think we want to talk about are the things that we know want to stay. Just like when we restructured, the walls have to stay, the chairs need to stay, things like that, instruments.
Our time of getting into the Word and learning from that, I think, is important. Jesus, when he was telling us, sending us on a commission, he said, teach all people to be my disciples. There's an important aspect of that, the way we learn and discover God's values. And again, it's not a matter of trying to make sure we get all the right truths in the right categories or anything like that, but it's even in that discovery and looking at his word that he begins to enlarge our understanding of not only his values and purposes, but who we are and how we live. So that's going to be a part of
this. So we want to keep teaching.
Yeah.
So you have job security. we could talk about, too, we want to keep worship.
Yeah, of course.
You know.
I mean, this is the thing. When we look at the purposes for the church, it's to develop a community that worships God and attends to the mission that he gave us to go into all the world. And let everyone know about the amazing thing that's happened, that God's kingdom is breaking into this world and God is creating a family, a multinational, multi-ethnic family of all people united under the banner of Christ.
Yeah. So worship, teaching. I want to keep Kids Gate.
Okay. Okay. You can have Kids Gate.
No, but I do want to clarify, like having Kids Gate, I do have people ask me, you know, sometimes like there are churches where there are no kids programs and you bring the kids in there. And I think it's really important personally to have, lessons that are geared directly to their age group and things like that. So I do want to make sure that I clarify. I think that's
well. Here's what I'm going to say. Just like in when we redid this room here, we didn't really take any of the major structural things out. Mm-hmm. What we did was just adjust the way they look, and so that's by and large what we're looking at in this. We don't want to necessarily take anything away like that, but what we want to do is expand this and ask. These are the things that we want to see changed. Like, how can our community get more deeply connected to each other? I would say if there's ever been a complaint consistently leveled against Eastgate, it's that we just, it's very difficult to get connected. So let's be praying about that. How can we as a community find ways to better connect with each other about this mission that we're on?
And that's something I think we as leaders want to be vulnerable for a second and just say, like, we don't have the answers. We are aware that's an issue. It's not something that I'm like, oh, well, that applies to them and whatever.
We have to blame God for this because it's a cadre of introverts that he put together that are trying to figure out how to be extroverts.
That's where we want to be honest and say we recognize this is an issue. We recognize this is an ongoing issue. And we would love to hear your opinions and feedback as to what you think would work. We're willing to try a couple of ideas. ideas that could fail. We're fine with failing.
Absolutely.
We're already doing it.
So. We do. We're good at failure. So if there's one thing we do well, it's fail.
We're not afraid to fail with that. So just we want to say even later on, if you want to send me a text message or whatever.
Right on.
This might
absolutely
work.
Yeah.
We're open to all ideas with that.
How can we encourage one another more? I mean, these are the things that we're called to be as the community that's attending to this mission. So how can we encourage each other in the process of this? And how can we develop networks within this community that facilitate those things?
Yeah.
You know, how does that, those are the things that we're praying about, that we want you to be praying about. And we see that you're, you know, involved in the conversation, and that's important. That's so good. And it was so good to see this feedback. So let's keep this conversation going and until we see it bearing fruit. Yes. All right. Great.
Okay.
Great idea. Yeah. So once we get a list of these various ministries, so if you've got, so what I'd like, you know, if Kathy or, you know, any of the ones that, Greg or any of the ones that we've
John.
Been talking about, John, are, you know, let us know, what those are so we can actually make people aware of them. These are part of the micro churches that are at work, within this community.
Whoever had that idea, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
It's very simple.
Yes.
And it makes sense.
Yeah.
Do you want to summarize?
Yeah. So let's summarize so this is what we want to be attending to in prayer and examining in our thoughts. How can we develop a more robust approach to our daily Christian life that is not solely dependent on a Sunday morning service? And then in what ways can I begin doing the works that glorify the Father in heaven? What micro missions, maybe in the path in front of me that I can attend to and put my hands to. And you know, we will do what we can to facilitate, encourage, and help with that.
And I want to say, like, I'm here just to listen. If you want to bounce ideas off, if you're like, okay, I have it on my heart for this thing, but I don't know exactly how to make that happen, I'm here to listen and help whatever I can. I can't do it for you, but I can help, you know, whatever I can, maybe try to get you connected with someone who might know whatever. So just to say, we're all here. Anyone on staff is here to listen.
And that's the thing to keep in mind, is that this isn't about trying to you know, find something for the leadership of this church to do. We are all equal ministers, all equally valuable in the purposes and the mission of the kingdom of heaven. And so, you know, what we want to do is encourage and help. But, you know, your ministry will be unique. The thing that God wants to do in you, and it's not something we're interested in trying to take control of or micromanage or do anything else with. We just want to be there to encourage and to help in whatever way we can in what it is that God is going to do through you. And it's exciting to me to think about all the different ways in which God can work through all the various personalities and abilities and giftings that are there.
And I do want to say, too, it doesn't have to be anyone on staff. It could just be a friend.
Yeah, that's right.
Because we're all equal, like you said, with that.
That's right. That's right. I mean, if there's one thing that the Eastgate experiment should be teaching us, is that the ground, you know, it's not scripture, but the ground is level at the foot of the cross, that there's an equality here that God's called us to. And we all equally share in this ministry of this community that God has put together over the years. And so I just think we're at an exciting time here where the world is changing in front of our eyes. And now God is stirring us up to not resist or complain or buck against that change, but to inject the kingdom of God into this changing and morphing world in front of us so that he'll be glorified and the Father in heaven is made known and his love is broadcast around. That was like a whole sermon right there. I'm sorry. Hopefully this isn't something that we're just going to have one conversation about. Hopefully this becomes ongoing. This can be something that we talk about even if you're part of Facebook and you go to the Facebook, group page, the community group page. We can start having discussions there about this. I mean, it would be cool to start using Facebook and things like that for discussions that can be meaningful and helpful, in bringing us into maturity, like Ephesians 4 talked about, building us up towards that full stature of Christ in this world.
Yeah.
You got anything else?
No.
Okay. All right. Well, then let's take some time and pray. Father, we just ask you to to guide us in this, to lead us in this. Here's the thing, Lord, we believe. We believe that you've actually spoken to us. You alerted us ahead of time, even though we were slow. Even though, like all of your disciples through history, apparently, we're slow to get it. But here we are, Lord, and so we present ourselves to you. And I speak on behalf of this community, even in the diaspora, even as we're separated here. I speak on our behalf before you, Lord God, before your throne. And I call on you, Lord Jesus, to send out your gifts and to give us the giftings that we need to be able to be the body of Christ in this world, to be able to represent your kingdom in meaningful ways beyond just a service that we have on Sunday, in ways that demonstrate in reality your great love for humanity and the hope that we all have in the kingdom of God, which will one day be completely revealed in this world. To guide us and lead us in that, Father, and we trust you to do these good works in us so that we can do good works in the world. And we pray these things, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Real quick, we are going to be offering Sunday morning services to up to 50 people. So
yes.
Today, probably this afternoon, I'm going to put on the website a link for registering, and also on Facebook, a link on, basically there's like four different Sundays in August that you can pick from, and we're going to take up to 30 people. And then anybody that's volunteering can obviously come. We need you. And then your families are welcome and invited as well. So that should get us around 50 people. We're going to start with that starting next Sunday. So
we're kind of calling it a soft opening. We're just kind of carefully working our way back into this, providing opportunities for us to get together again and at least see each other again, and we'll see where it goes from there.
So be on the lookout on Facebook. If you don't use social media, that's cool too. You can go to our website and we'll have it there as well.
Yes, eastgatefellowship.net. You can find pretty much all the pertinent information you need if you're not a Facebook user. Do we have
a
blessing?
So long, I'm so sorry.
We'll say this blessing on each other, and then we'll bail out of here. And I know it was a long day for everyone, but may the peace of the Lord Christ be with you wherever he may send you or have you. May he guide you through the wilderness and protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into these doors. Oh, that's our prayer. So stay at peace, you children of God. I look forward to what God's going to be doing with us. See you next time.